Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. The final hour of the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. I know we got started just a second late because Diesel and I were having a very heated and important conversation off the air just a second ago, and I'm going to get into that here in just a moment. But first, let me say, what's up, GSP? Good to be with you again. I am Rob Brown. The pleasure, of course, mine. Thank you for letting me be a part of your day, be a part of your lunch break, or if it's not your lunch break, whatever else it is you're doing at this point.
You're driving to pick up your kids.
Yeah, whatever you're doing at this point in time. Thank you for letting me be a part of your day. I am Rob Brown, as mentioned. Diesel's back in the studio, and I want to get back into how excited I am to be coming to Greenville. If you missed the announcement earlier this week, it has been made official. I have been selected to become the full-time host of the 12 to 3 midday time slot on ESPN Upstate. And starting on Monday, March 2nd, I will be doing the show with you up there in the studios of ESPN Upstate. And I cannot wait to get there. But Diesel and I were having a much more important conversation off the air before we came back, and I want to establish that. Diesel, you ran a bit of trivia at me during the break, and I dispute it. So I want you to set this up for the people because, and you will learn this about me as the show rolls on, I am many things. I am a metalhead, but I am also a science dork. I am an all sports guy, but I also watch professional wrestling on the regular. So I'm all over the map. And one of those things is I am a nerd and I am a Star Wars nerd. One specifically who has hated the final trilogy. And we can talk about that in a future show. But you brought some Star Wars trivia to me now that I heavily dispute.
Yeah, so as I was trying to get prepared for the ninth movie, the one that came out just a couple of months ago, I began the arduous long journey of watching all of the Star Wars movies. All eight of them prior, I watched Solo, the one where they got the plans for the Death Star. I watched The Mandalorian. I watched it all, okay? And as such, when you're doing that, you kind of watch YouTube, like the companion YouTube videos that sort of explain some of the Easter eggs. Because I'm not a hardcore Star Wars nerd. I enjoy it, but I'm not hardcore. So I pick up little things here and there. And as such, now YouTube is just throwing the stuff at me, nonstop, throwing the stuff at me. And I'll watch them occasionally. And I found out last night that according to Star Wars canon, when somebody says that, it's like, all right, Sheldon, tell me more. According to Star Wars canon, the title of the movie Return of the Jedi was not actually about the kicking off of a new Jedi Order, circa Luke Skywalker. It's actually refers to Darth Vader's return to the light side upon his death. So he was returning from the dark side to the light side Jedi.
I dispute in 2 minutes or less because I know that this is a point where we've got a bunch of people going, freaking nerds. But in 2 minutes or less, I don't believe you, Diesel, but I think someone may have fed you some false information. And here is the story that I have always heard. The story that I have always heard is that initially George Lucas was going to call it Revenge of the Jedi, obviously, because that's the point where Luke Skywalker is going to, you know, get back and reestablish the Rebel Alliance and all that good stuff. But when he came up with the name Revenge of the Jedi, after writing all the stories, it was brought to him by Star Wars folks that the Jedi would not seek revenge. Revenge is something that a Sith would do. The Jedi would only establish or would only seek to reestablish good throughout the galaxy. So that's when he changed it to Return of the Jedi, because the Jedi would not be seeking revenge. And now it plays to the theme, and I think it fits nicely that Darth Vader would return to being Anakin at the very end. I think that plays along with what we're looking at. But I do not think that it is the reason why that movie was called Return of the Jedi. I think it was more along the lines of Revenge of the Jedi would have been a kick-ass name, but they just couldn't do that because the Jedi would not seek revenge.
All I can do is report what I shared and see what you think.
Okay, Twitter. Those of you on Twitter, you dorks like me and Diesel, which, by the way, I do love, and I am very excited. So Diesel and I hung out when I got up there for the audition. Diesel and I, you and I went out. It was Monday or Tuesday. I don't remember. I think it was Tuesday night. We went out after the show and headed to downtown Greenville and went out to one of the many fine sipping establishments in the area and sat up on the roof. And I did have a chuckle because we spent a decent amount of time discussing Star Wars, and I realized if someone would have walked into the bar with two very large men, because I go 6'3", about 240. Diesel, you're what, about 6'1", 6'2", ballpark?
I'm 6 foot even.
Okay, 6 foot even, and Diesel rolls about 215, 220?
Yeah, that's about right.
All right, 215, 220. Diesel looks like he works out. I don't, but whatever. I'm still a big guy. And you would have walked in and said, what are those two large bearded flannel men, flannel-wearing men in the corner talking about? No one would have guessed. They're having a very intense discussion about the most recent Star Wars trilogy. But here we are, Diesel.
It's an amazing time. You know, being a nerd is now mainstream.
Yes, it is. I am so glad, because when I was growing up, if you were a nerd and a dork, you were ostracized for it. Now the most famous movie franchise or most successful movie franchise of all time is freaking comic book superheroes. Like, I love it. I really do. Speaking of, as we segue that, so for those of you who missed the announcement earlier this week, I have been selected and I have accepted the full-time position of midday host on ESPN Upstate. And starting on Monday, March 2nd, you will be able to, should you elect, to hear my beautiful voice every single day from noon to 3 coming across your airwaves. And I am very, very excited about it. The reason that I am most excited about it is because the people of Greenville have been unbelievable. The people of Spartanburg have been unbelievable. I spent 3 days up that way 4 weeks ago, and it was four of my favorite days. I did not treat it as a vacation per se. I came up there, and when I first sat down with Big Mark, who makes all the calls up there for ESPN Upstate, when I was up that way and talking with the people, I told Mark, dude, I'm here to earn a job. I'm not here to play. I'm not here to goof off. I'm here to earn a job. And I was being very serious about it. I knew that I was behind the eight ball. I knew that I was way behind some of the other finalists. Diesel, you and I talked about it from when I got up there. I told you I need these two shows to be two of the best shows in my life because I am starting way behind everybody else in this competition. And I did that. I came up there. I busted hump. I spent time in the Airbnb making sure the shows were mapped out and prepped out and everything was good. But I also got out because I wanted to learn the area. And I wanted to go hit a couple of the more famous drinking spots. I wanted to hit some of the more famous eating spots. I wanted to get out into nature a little bit and just experience life in the hills. And I did that. And everywhere I went, from the moment that I drove into Greenville to the moment I left it, from the moment I drove into Spartanburg, because I absolutely spent some time the day before I left, right there over in Spartanburg as well. I wanted a feel for the whole area. Everywhere I went, everybody was crazy nice. Like crazy nice. And I love living down here in the Florida Panhandle. I've been here for 30 years, and I've always said the same thing. But it was so genuine from everybody. Just people walking down the street. The first night that I was there, Sunday night, I got off the plane at GSP International. I rented a car. I drove to downtown Greenville. I parked the truck on the side of the road, and I started walking up and down the road. And as people would walk by, I would say, excuse me, I hate to bother you. I'm up here auditioning for a job. I'm in town for two nights. What would you say are the things that I have to do in the area? And in most places I've been to, when I ask that question, because that's one of my favorite things to do, when people walk by, I just go, hey, I'm not from here. I'm on vacation for a couple days. I really want to see the local stuff, right? Diesel, I don't know about you. When I go on vacation to places I've never been before, I don't want to hit the touristy spots. I want to go hang out where all the locals hang out. Those places are always the best. So as I'm walking down the streets of Greenville, and I'm grabbing people and going, hey, I hate to bug you. I'm sorry to bug you, but I really want to know where the locals hang out. I didn't get one person who went, dude, I don't have time for you. Not one person went, yeah, man, good luck, whatever. Every single person ended up having a full-on conversation with me. Every person there would go, well, my suggestions are this, that, and the other. Go here, do that, see this, etc. And it was amazing. Spartanburg was the same way. I went over to Spartanburg because it turns out that I have a very dear friend, buddy of mine, Kyle Brinkman, who's a news director over there in Spartanburg at the local news affiliate. And he and I were chatting. And after we were done and I was walking around, every person that I said hello to from the minute we sat down at lunch till the minute that I just kind of walked around downtown Spartanburg, yeah, absolutely. I would go here, here, and here. Make sure you do this and see that. Everybody was so damn nice. I told my mom, as a matter of fact, when I got back, Diesel, it was funny. Have you ever seen the movie Pleasantville?
No, can't say as I have.
Okay. Pleasantville is one of my favorite movies of all time. Pleasantville starts off, it's a movie that starts in black and white, and it's about this ideal little town where everybody's happy and there's nothing but love and compassion and joy. And, you know, it's reminiscent of the old 40s and 50s sitcoms where the husband and wife love each other dearly, but they sleep in beds on opposite sides of the bedroom so that there's no ideas of impropriety, etc. And then as the movie goes on and people start living life, start living their life and realizing that, you know, you can go out and have a little bit of fun and get into a little bit trouble. And as the husbands and wives, shall I say, push their beds together, things start turning into color. So the first half of the movie is black and white. And then as people kind of break out of that Pleasantville experience, when they start kind of having a little fun, exhilarating fun, they turn to color, and the whole town eventually ends up as a color town. But it's still this really beautiful little place. Greenville Spartanburg was like Pleasantville for me. Everything was so perfect and in order and beautiful, but also it was full of color. It was full of life. And, you know, I felt like I fit in there. And I've been a lot of places with this job. To brag a little bit, I've been very fortunate. I've been in covering sports to D.C., to Philly, all around Florida, to Vegas, to California. I have been Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, everywhere in the Southeast, and a ton of places in the rest of the country I've gotten to travel. And a couple of those, I looked at jobs. And I can tell you sincerely, there have only been three places that I've ever said I can call this home. One of them is Destin-Fort Walton Beach, where I grew up. One of them is New Orleans, Louisiana, where I am from originally. That's where I was born. And one of them has been Greenville, Spartanburg. And I'm not blowing smoke up your skirt. I have no reason to suck up to you. I've already got the job. But I felt like home when I was up there, and the people there were the reason why. So I will see you guys in 10 days. In 11 days, I will be broadcasting from the studios of ESPN Upstate. And in about 14 days, I'm going to be hitting on Twitter going, somebody meet me at the bar. Let's go have a little fun. All right. We got to run to our first break of the last hour. And when we come back, I have watched people beat the ever-loving you-know-what out of football players for making one decision. And frankly, I'm quite tired of it. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why. If you are guilty of this BS criticism, you need to change your perspective. And I'm going to name you two other beloved football players that have made the same decision that you've never criticized for. I'll tell you who they are when we come back. My name is Rob Brown. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. It is ESPN Upstate. It is the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. We've got couple more segments for you before we play some Twitter trending topics to end the show. Joe Burrow, national championship winner, Heisman Trophy winner, is now taking flack from the general football public because there's a strong potential he may not want to play for the Cincinnati Bengals. And over the past handful of days, he has gone so far as to be, well, unwilling to commit to doing so. He's had a handful of media members who have said, if they draft you, will you play for them? And he has, for the most part, not really answered those questions. He's been not so pointed, shall we say, in his answers. And there's a lot of people who think that he may very well pull an Eli Manning and say, I refuse to play for that team. Trade me. Or I'll sit. And I've seen a lot of people who have said, oh, that's not the right way to do it. That's baloney. And I understand that. I understand that. I get that. But I also look at it from the perspective of the player. And I'm going to need those of you who critique guys like Joe Burrow to do the same. If you could, by avoiding a black hole of a place to work, if you could extend your career, make more money over your career, and be guaranteed more success in another place, wouldn't you go there? And I don't, I'm going to use myself as an example here, right? Here's the deal. I'm down here on the Emerald Coast, and I worked for a station here on the Emerald Coast that for many, many years was, and I don't want to get into a fight with anybody, but basically it's been run by some people who haven't really run it the way it needs to be run. It's the one that Mark Ryan and I used to work together on many, many moons ago, as a matter of fact, about, 8, 9 years ago now. So in September of last year, I moved to Jacksonville, Florida, and I did so for two reasons. Number one, I was chasing a job with a big radio station, the flagship of the Jacksonville Jaguars there in Jacksonville. I was chasing a job with them, and I was chasing a relationship with a girl that at the time I thought, this is probably my last relationship, in a good way. So I moved to Jacksonville. Got to Jacksonville. The job didn't work out. The relationship didn't work out. I find myself in Jacksonville, unemployed and single. And I decide, staying in Jacksonville doesn't do anything for me. So I asked for a trade back to Fort Walton Beach, Destin. When I got here, by the time that I was on my way here, I had already spoken with Mark Ryan about potentially taking the job up there in the GSP. So I got the call. Do you want to come audition? At the same time, I absolutely could have waltzed right back to my old station right here on the Emerald Coast. I could have walked right in the front door and said, as long as I've been here, I want a show back. And they would have given it to me. They would have given it to me. But see, then Mark Ryan called me and Mark Hendricks called me and they said, not only did you audition, but you got a pretty good chance at getting the job. Just stay tuned. So you know what I didn't do? I didn't waltz into the old station and say, you know me. You know I'm good at this. I want a show. Instead, I held out and said, I'm not going to play for you because I want to play somewhere else. Then I got the job in Greenville Spartanburg. And I said, I'm going to do better there than I am here. I'm going to have a better chance for success there than I am here. It's a better organization there than it is here. Do any of you listening right now fault me for making that decision? Keep in mind, I played for that team for about 10 of the last 13 years. I was on that team. I ran that team. For about 4 of those years, I was the only player on that team. I ran that station. I hosted both drive time shows every day for about 3 years until Mark Ryan showed up to bail me out by myself. Produced, engineered, and hosted 2 shows. Diesel, tell me what that means. Am I committed? I ran a 3-hour show, host, engineered, produced, and a 4-hour show in the afternoon, host, engineered, produced, and I did it for like $8 an hour. Would you say that I was uncommitted to that position?
Yeah, and what's really exceptional is you did it without being addicted to cocaine, because at $8 an hour, you certainly can't afford it.
So that's the spot I was in. And then when I got back here, I could have gone back in there and played for that team again. But I said, nope, I'm going to hold out. I'm not going to do it. I expect better for myself. I demand better for myself. And I waited, and I found myself a team, an organization, with a head coach, Mark Hendricks, and a general manager in Mark Ryan, with a hell of a squad to be on the field with, in Diesel and Lonzo and all the other guys that are on the mics up there, Mark Ryan and the rest, who said, we're going to give you what you're worth because we want you to succeed and we want the team to succeed with you. Who amongst you faults me for making that decision? Who amongst you said I made the wrong call? I don't think anybody would. And if you do, 844-GSP-ESPN, I would love you to tell me to my face, or I guess to my eardrums, that I was wrong for walking out on that team, holding out for more money in a better position, a better role, a better team, a better staff, and better players, teammates, to come up there and play with you guys. So why is Joe Burrow a bad guy if he looks at the organization that has been the Bungles for years? For a decade and a half, Cincinnati has been a joke, and go, dude, I want better. I want better. Fix yourself and then we'll talk. But they haven't. Who amongst you looked at the San Diego Chargers when they, quote, drafted, end quote, Eli Manning, and then immediately traded him away? Who amongst you faulted Archie Manning when he came out and said, yo, I played 11 years for the New Orleans Saints, one of the greatest Saints in history. You know how many winning seasons Archie Manning had in New Orleans? I'll give you a hint. It's less than one. Archie Manning never had a winning series and he season, and he looked at the Chargers and said, same boat, you guys can't win. The organization's bad. The player personnel staff is bad. The team's bad. With the exception of LaDainian Tomlinson, Tony Gonzalez, and Junior Seau, name me another Charger from that era. They had nothing. And they've done a little better since Phil Rivers ended up there at the same time. But for the most part, the Chargers were bad. Why was Eli a bad guy? Oh, and by the way, here's two other names for you, because I told you I had two players you've never criticized for this. John Elway in the 80s. John Elway, you know, the famous Denver Bronco, John Elway. You know who drafted John Elway? The Colts. And you know what John Elway said? Who was also drafted by the New York Yankees in Major League Baseball? John Elway said, I will play for the Yankees as an average baseball player before I play for the Colts. So, Jim Irsay and company went looking and traded him to Denver for a first-round pick the next year and a couple of players. Oh, how about Bo Jackson? Now, Bo had a pretty good reason. Bo Jackson got flown by the owner of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to go meet with Tampa to talk about them drafting him. And Bo Jackson was told that it would not impact his NCAA eligibility. Well, it did, and it cost him his last year of secondary sports. So Bo Jackson, who was still in the target of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, said, if you draft me, I will play baseball and nothing else. I got no problem not playing football anymore. Because you guys screwed me and I want better for myself and my family and everybody else. So why is it that if we're cool with John Elway and Bo Jackson, why is it that we dump on Eli Manning and Joe Burrow for saying, nope, I don't want to go play for a team that is a perennial loser, that is run by losers, and that will cost me years of my career and dollars out of my bank account? I don't think we can. All right, time for our final half-hour break of the show. When we come back here in just a minute, Mark Richt, yeah, that Mark Richt, who's not had a history of making very good decisions the last handful of years, Mark Richt made an interesting point on Twitter that a lot of people agreed with, but I'll tell you why Mark Richt still might be wrong, even though he made himself relevant for the first time in a while with a very interesting point. That's what we'll talk about when we come back here on The Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. It is the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. I am, well, Rob Brown, obviously. My man Diesel is back in the network studio. He's in charge of the program, so I hope you enjoy that. Mark Richt, former Georgia perennial second-place coach, then went to Miami. Things did not go well with he and the Hurricanes, at least not as well as everybody hoped. Well, he put himself back in the news yesterday. Remember back on Monday, I told you a little bit about the transfer rule that the Big Ten supported and put out earlier in the year. And then the ACC came out earlier in the week and said that they supported it as well. Long story short, not to go all the way back into detail about that, but basically the transfer rule said and says that all student athletes would get a one-time transfer exemption, meaning that one time in their career, for every student athlete, they would be able to take off and go somewhere else for any reason in any sport and not have to sit out. So Mark Richt brought up a point on Twitter the other night. He said, and I quote, "I know I have an idea. You recruit and develop players, and when I think they're good enough, I will poach them from your roster. Welcome to what the new normal will look like in college football." And initially I thought, that's it. If you're Georgia under Mark Richt, basically smaller D1 schools have now become a feeder program for you. They are now a feeder program. They are now in a spot where they can watch younger players, maybe two-star recruits that are intriguing, three-star recruits that need a little bit more sharpening of the skills. They can watch them go play at a Vandy or a Wake Forest. And then when they have a great season or two, pluck, all of a sudden somebody from Georgia's in their ear going, "Hey, how do you feel about Athens? How do you want to come up here and play for a big school and be on CBS on Saturday afternoons? How do you feel about it?" But the blowback to Mark Richt has been not super positive. Here are some of the tweets that came in as replies. From @IChaseFeralCats, which is my favorite Twitter handle of the day, if we're being honest. "For coaches that get paid astronomical salaries because of free labor, the ease of transfer is good. For the free laborers, it is bad." @MiamiBozo, "So how it's always worked for coaches?" Responded to by @DoYourOwnResearch, "Didn't Michigan State just do this to Colorado?" Bingo. @VannaTheCure, "So players are now allowed to control their futures like coaches have always done? Long overdue when you consider the millions of dollars made on the backs of these kids." @MoneyLyman, "I have an idea. You identify and develop coaches, and when other programs think they are good enough, they will poach your head coach and staff. Welcome to college football the last 30 years. Don't cry about players doing it now." These are the regular folks piling on Mark Richt, and I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. I'd be fine with it if you instituted rules that the coaches have to follow the same rules as the players. You want to ditch your school and move somewhere else? Fine. 1 year on spare, 1 year, you have to sit out with no pay. That school that poached you has to go without a head coach for 1 year, or with an interim head coach for 1 year. But all of a sudden, that's a problem. I understand that when you sign a player to come to your school, you want them to, as the Beach Boys would say, be true to your school, just like you would to your girl. I'm not going to sing it, but you know the song. I almost sang it. Diesel turned on his mic because he was going to sing harmonies. I heard it. You were ready to go.
Mark Richt isn't, he's not wrong. That's the big thing. He's not wrong. However, we are now living in an era where it's okay to point out the hypocrisy therein within his statement.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. I get what he's saying, and I don't disagree with him. That is absolutely going to happen. You are going to have big schools that now all of a sudden, not that they weren't already doing this, all right? The transfer portal over the last couple of years has been big time, okay? And I would even go so far as to say, keep an eye on Georgia, as a matter of fact, speaking of Mark Richt's devil. Keep an eye on Georgia, because there is a very good chance that Georgia is going to be pulling in a transfer portal quarterback to take over the role in 2021 when they take on Clemson and Charlotte in 2021. So the point that I'm making here is that it's always kind of been this way. It's just that in the past there's been some, if you will, punishment to players or requirements that they meet before they go. Graduate transfers were allowed to play automatically. Now they're not doing that anymore. So, with that reality being recognized, why are we so upset? when we expect players to be true to your school. We expect players to honor and commit to that scholarship. Y'all don't get all that mad when coaches decide they're going to take off early. Well, they have to pay the buyout. Right. And they can afford to pay a buyout. Do you know why? Because they make a lot of money when they sign those contracts. I paid my way through school. I understand that a scholarship is free money in terms of education, which is why I've said I understand players bringing in that much money and maybe getting them a little cut of the scratch, but also recognizing the value of the scholarship to the school in question. I get it, and it's on them to take advantage of that. But on the flip side, these coaches, we don't get mad at them and go, wait a minute. The benefit is the money that you're making in the agreement that you sign, so I expect you to honor that agreement without question, not to pay off your buyout and to go somewhere else. I expect you to honor that commitment all the way through. I get what Mark Richt is saying. I understand the point that he is making. I understand the direction that he is going in with this. But I also think in the past, guys like Mark Richt have looked at the players. And for the record, I have met Mark Richt. I told you guys I met Tim Tebow through my philanthropic organization I was a part of down here, the All Sports Association. Mark Richt was our keynote speaker a couple years ago. And I got the chance to meet him. And he's a good dude. He's a genuine, authentic guy. I don't have any personal problems with Mark Richt. But I think Mark Richt is a coaching position, as many coaches do. And I think for some folks, as fans do, fans and coaches look at players not as people, but as commodities. Commodities that they can use to make their team better. That's it. That's all. It is a commodity that they use to make their team better. And now that the players are saying, we are not commodities. We are not capital. We are human beings playing a game, and we want the same ability as the coaches who are human beings have. Everybody's mad about it. Interesting. All right, we'll take our final break of the show. When we come back in just a minute, Diesel takes over the head mic, and we play Twitter Trending Topics, our favorite game. We'll hit that as soon as we come back. My name is Rob Brown. You are listening to The Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate.
This is ESPN Upstate.
Yeah, baby! Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show is on your speakers. I am Rob Brown. Diesel back in the network studio, pushing the button, switching the switches. We end every show the same way. For the most part, we end every show the same way, which is by playing Twitter Trending Topics. It's very simple. I hand the microphone over to Diesel. He takes a look at the 10-ish things that are highest trending on Twitter. He reads them to me. I have closed Twitter. I am out of Twitter. He reads them to me, and then I issue my thoughts, connected or not, disjointed or not, on the things that you are talking about most in the social media atmosphere. So, Diesel, I hand you the show mic, metaphorically speaking. Where are we going first?
Twitter trending topic number one, David Ortiz.
I did see Big Poppy has come out and said that Mike Fierce, who was the guy who did the interview that started the uncovering of the Astros cheating scandal, has come out and said that Mike Fierce looks like a snitch, end quote, and that he feels sad for Jose Altuve and the rest. I have two things, David Ortiz. First and foremost, didn't you get busted cheating when you played? weren't you in a little bit of trouble for breaking the rules? Yeah, I thought so.
So he knows what he's talking about.
Bingo. Nobody cares when the cheater feels bad for the other cheaters, Big Poppy. Second off, this isn't like snitch. Like, snitch to me, the whole snitches get stitches culture, Diesel. Snitching is when you tattletale on somebody for something that really doesn't impact you or anybody else, right? Like, snitching is, hey, your husband sneaks out behind the house and has a cigarette even though he told you he doesn't smoke anymore. You know what I mean? Like, that's snitching. That's not cool. Snitching isn't, hey, the Houston Astros did a thing that impacted the World Series of freaking Major League Baseball. Is that a fair line to draw in the sand between snitching and enlightening a full-fledged scandal, Diesel, or am I being sensitive?
I'm 100% with you. Calling out evil for being evil is not a bad thing.
It's not snitching. It's not. We got to quit with that crap, man. Like the whole, don't tattletale, kids. No, bro, if a kid brings a gun to school, I need you to tell me about it. That ain't snitching. That's helping out the world. All right, let's move on.
Twitter trending topic number two, trending in sports, is Kevin Stallings.
Kevin Stallings. And now, this is the, as mentioned, this is the danger of closing Twitter, because I just saw the headline right before I closed it out. NCAA announced a 3-year show cause penalty for former Pitt basketball coach Kevin Stallings as part of a negotiated settlement with the university following an investigation into alleged rules violations by the men's basketball and football program. Stallings was not named in the report, but was the Pitt coach when the violation occurred. He went 24-41 with a 4-32 record in the ACC during his two seasons, which spanned 16 and 18. Also spent 17 seasons at Vanderbilt, took the Doors to the NCAA tournament 7 times between 99 and 2016. He's been out of coaching for a couple of years now, so I don't think this is going to have the biggest effect in the world. The only thing I think this does is maybe catches the eye of a handful of other college coaches who might be in a similar boat. But for the most part, fortunately, I don't think this is going to have too negative a reaction on the college basketball world.
All right, Twitter trending topic number three is Luis Severino.
See, I didn't see this one either. What did Severino do?
Let me look into it and find out.
Okay. So you don't know either.
I don't know either.
Gotcha. Okay. Looks like Severino is dealing.
Forearm soreness.
Yeah, turns 26 today, does Luis Severino, but looks like Cashman has said he's been prescribed anti-inflammatory meds and rest. Load management, y'all. Load management is a real thing.
All right, next topic is hashtag President Elizabeth Warren.
President Elizabeth Warren. Look, I'm not going to get too deep into politics on this show. There will be times when politics and sports cross paths. But unless they are fully integrated, like it is impacting performance on the field or court or pitch, I'm not going to get into it. I am simply going to say that Elizabeth Warren destroyed Mike Bloomberg at the beginning of that debate last night. And I have to say, again, political positioning be damned, I think she pretty much annihilated Michael Bloomberg's chances to become president last night.
Okay, next topic. Hashtag Westworld.
I have not yet watched Westworld, but I've heard it's a fantastic show. I am currently burning through a couple of other shows. I'm just getting through Dexter. Have you watched Dexter?
I can't watch Dexter because I don't like being narrated to.
Gotcha. Okay, it doesn't bother me. I've started Dexter. I'm season 2 of Dexter right now. I really like it. The fear that I have a fear of long commitment to TV shows because of how many of them get very bad at the very end. For instance, I got fully ingrained into Dexter, and now I'm being told that the last two seasons of Dexter are just bad because they basically painted themselves into a corner and had no way out. Did you watch Game of Thrones, Diesel?
Did not.
Okay. I loved Game of Thrones. Loved it. I watched seasons 1 through 5 in the first, 3 weeks that I found it, right? And these are hour-long episodes with, 18, 19 episodes a season, if I recall correctly. I burned through it. And then we got to season 7 and season 8, or 6 and 7, whatever the last two were, and they broke my heart. They just gave up. None of the things they built up made sense. None of the character development paid off. It went from being arguably the greatest television show I ever watched to an absolute train wreck because the writers just wanted to get done and move on. And so, Diesel, I have a fear of commitment to six plus season television shows, because I'm just afraid they're going to Game of Thrones me and break my heart at the very end.
That's why Breaking Bad was smart enough to get out while the getting out was good.
Can I tell you the truth? I watched like the first six episodes of Breaking Bad. It did nothing for me.
Really?
Yeah, I tried. Everybody was on board the hype. I tried it. Breaking Bad did nothing for me. I've got friends who like are like, dude, I'm going to disown you if you don't watch it.
You can just not come up here for the job now. You can do this. You can do the show from down there solo and be by yourself.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I think that is just about going to do it for Twitter Trending Topics and for the show itself today. Diesel, nice job today, my friend. Thank you very much. And I may get called in to fill in a day or two next week. But outside of that, next time I talk to you for a full-length show is going to be Monday, March 2nd, when we get this thing kicked off, man. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Everybody else in GSP, thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show half as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. Remember, thank a soldier, sailor, airman, marine, firefighter, police officer, EMS, Coast Guardman, first responder. Love them, need them. Can't do without them. My name is Rob Brown. Thanks for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.